fruit is here and there and all over. Every part of the world has different types of fruit. And fruit is something that is easily recognizable. When you look at the plant, you can see that there is fruit present there. There is fruit happening there. You look up, you see. I remember in Paraguay when I was living there, one of the wonderful things was the banana trees everywhere. And it wasn't these big bananas, it was the little baby bananas. And you could see them starting to fall off, and you knew that they were almost ready. And what a wonderful thing to just be able to walk out anytime, and there's lemons and limes. And, you know, we miss that here in Newport News, unfortunately. But fruit is good. Fruit is good. It's good for us, too, right? That's what we learn. And Jesus teaches a lot about fruit. If you read the New Testament, you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus uses the word fruit a lot, a whole lot. And he uses farmer parables, and he uses plant parables a lot. Because there's something that Jesus is really trying to drive the focus on. And it was actually John the Baptist who started that conversation with the Pharisees, because there was a problem. They were saying one thing, but there was no evidence of fruit. And so that's why John the Baptist got bold one day, and he said, you need to bear fruit in keeping with repentance, you brood of vipers. You know, that's how you get fruit to come out. Just tell them, you're a brood of vipers. And so it was just that teaching about there needs to be fruit in the life. And then John the Baptist goes on to say, and Jesus would echo his words, that every tree that does not produce fruit, there will be an axe that will be laid to it and tossed into the fire. And what a strong analogy to use, but what it is a core teaching of the New Testament about what we are supposed to be as believers, supposed to be doing, producing fruit. And so we're going to look here at John chapter 15 and read some of these words that Jesus says here. John 15, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. And so this is an important part to what we're about to read here, and echoes what Jesus just said in John 14. He's the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by him. And so if any of us are going to get to the Father, it's going to be through the vine, the true vine, which is Jesus. And then God in his sovereignty is compared to the vine grower. He's the one tending the branches, taking care of the branches and watching after them. So he goes on to say, he removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Now, it's important to start noticing that Jesus is about to teach about fruit, and he just starts it out like this. He's looking for fruit, and when there is no fruit, what's he doing? He's removing that branch. He's pruning it. He's getting it down to where it can produce fruit, because why? Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit, more fruit. And I hope that's kind of a takeaway today for us, is that what God is looking for in this thing called the church and the kingdom of God is not little fruit, it's more fruit, more fruit, more fruit, more fruit. And we're going to look at what that means in a little bit. So you've already been cleansed by the word I've spoken to you. Abide in me, and as I abide in you, just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. And then here's this verse here that Jesus says, a strong verse. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. And if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. So we're going to skip down to verse 16. He takes a little time right there and talks to them about abiding in his love and what that means, that he's no longer called them servants, but he's called them friends because he shared everything with them. So now verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. And I'm giving you these commands so that you may love one another. Now, that is probably the most important part of this whole teaching, because Jesus is leading up to this. Why is he teaching them about bearing fruit? I'm giving you these commands so that you may love one another. So this morning, we're going to talk a few minutes about producing fruit. Every believer, it's important to note this morning, every believer, it doesn't matter if you've been a believer for one day, 30 years, 40 years, it doesn't matter. Every believer is called to bear fruit. And not just bear fruit, but bear much fruit, Jesus says. Bear much fruit. You and I are called to bear fruit. And so we have to understand, well, what does that mean? What does bearing fruit mean? What does it mean to produce fruit? Well, when you think about it, Jesus didn't teach in these comparison and analogies and parables to make things complicated. He did it to make things simple. So when you think about fruit for a minute, what is fruit for? It's to feed us. It's to satisfy a craving and a hunger in us. And it's in the likewise as well. When you and I are the vine that is producing fruit, it's not just producing fruit to just hang out there, to just be for no reason. That's purposeless. Why would God just produce fruit to be there? He's not interested in Christmas trees. He's interested in producing fruit, and that fruit that can be shared, and fruit that can be a blessing, and fruit that will help. And that's why Paul goes on to teach later on that the fruit of the Spirit working in us is all of these long list of things that are centralized about being a blessing to other people. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, kindness, all of these things that culminate in what Jesus said there at that last verse. I've given you all of these commands so that you may love one another. We're called to produce fruit because our calling in life, the second most important commandment Jesus said to that young rich ruler that came to him, is to love one another. Love one another. Love them as we love ourselves. Loving people in Jesus' mind is second to important as loving God himself. Think about that for a moment. God, Jesus, the Pharisees came and questioned him at another point, and they asked him, what's the most important commandment? And he said, the one is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and your strength. But the second, like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Loving people is important. And what we have been called to do in the culmination of who we have been called to be is about loving people. Is about producing fruit that can be shared with the world, producing fruit that can be a blessing to people, that they might taste and see that the Lord is good, that they might know that Jesus is Lord. Listen, the other thing that is important about this teaching is that Jesus, once again, he's the true vine and the Father is the vine grower. So there's no growing in and of myself. I'm not growing myself. The Lord's growing us as we give ourselves to the Lord, as we yield ourselves to the Lord. So important foundational pieces as we look at this and beginning to see what John is teaching here, or Jesus is teaching here in John 15. So we're going to go here. Firstly, verse 2. Jesus said, every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. The first thing we see here this morning is that God is not interested in fruitlessness. He's interested in fruitfulness. He's interested in a fruitful life. If God is speaking his life into us, and we are living on the vine, and we are connected to the source who is the life that we need, there should be fruit. It's just by nature of the connection that we share with Jesus. You cannot abide in Jesus and not bear fruit. If we abide in Jesus, we're bearing fruit. It's just the nature of the relationship with Jesus. And we see this teaching over and over again. Jesus teaching parables and lessons on plants and seeds, trees and harvests. And we understand this is that God's desire, here, everyone, make sure we get this morning. God's desire for all of us is to grow. Always grow. Always grow. No, there's never a point where we should stop growing. We will continue to grow until the day Jesus comes back or we pass on to heaven. We are intended to always be growing. And this is why when Paul is writing letters to the New Testament churches, he's rebuking them, because he said, you're still living on milk when you should be on meat. There's an immaturity that isn't happening. That is a maturity that isn't happening. And they're very immature believers. God's desire is for us to grow. You think about the parable of the sower, and he talks about what happens when the word is sown on good soil and it takes root, is it produces a harvest of 100-fold. God is interested in fruitfulness. And he wants every person here today, no matter your talents, the thing that is unique about fruit in living the spiritual life is this: there, Jesus doesn't add any qualifiers to this. He doesn't say, well, if you have this certain calling, or if you have this certain background, or this certain type of ability. He just says, bear fruit. Take it for what it is and bear fruit. God is looking that there is a harvest of fruitfulness in our lives. In Matthew 21, Jesus teaches this parable of the wicked tenants when he's teaching this really in the context of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And the Bible says that when, in Matthew 21 and 34, that when harvest time had come, he sent his servants to the tenants to collect his produce. And then going on later on in that verse, in verse 41, some time went by, and they went out and they sent the people to do the work in the fields, and they came and beat them and killed them and wouldn't let them. So the guy said, well, they won't do that to the owner's son, in a parable really likening to Jesus. So, but nonetheless, they did the same thing. And then Jesus offers this word at the end of this parable. They said to him, he will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the harvest time. Jesus's focus has always been, you read these gospels, you read this New Testament, you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John over and over again, there's one thing that Jesus is focused on over and over again, and that's the harvest. The harvest. He talks about it. He says at one point, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. He's focused on harvesting. Focusing on bringing fruit, bringing a harvest, making sure that the focus is on reaching people. Actually, we see later on, Jesus teach this teaching in Matthew 24, and it's teaching about the end and Christ's coming, and that the Son of Man's going to come, the clouds are going to part, and he's going to come back, the trump will sound. But he gives this word in there, and this good news of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. Now think about what Jesus is teaching there for a moment. He's telling them this good news has to be proclaimed. Everyone has to hear it. They have to hear the gospel. And then after they hear it, then the end will come. That tells me something, is that God's focus, Jesus's heart, is about the harvest, is about making sure that the good news is proclaimed and that there can be a harvest reaped at the time so appointed unto whatever God says. Harvest, fruitfulness, is important. It's important. We sow, we reap. That's teaching in the New Testament. There's going to come a time we're going to rejoice together, the sower and the reaper, because the harvest was made good. God is not interested in fruitfulness. He's interested in fruitfulness. Second thing we see here in John 15:5, Jesus goes on to teach this wonderful truth that is just so has been foundational for me in my life, just coming back to this verse. I am the vine and you are the branches. Remember this morning, Jesus is the vine. Sometimes we get in our mind that I'm the vine and I'm producing branches, but no, we're all branches. There's no vine. There's no one above anyone. There's no one. We're all branches. And the only thing that's helping anyone produce fruit is staying connected to Jesus. I don't care what they call themselves, what the title is, whatever they say their spiritual gift is, it doesn't matter. We're all branches. And if the branch isn't connected to the vine, it is a simple, foundational, elementary truth. There is no fruit. And Jesus says here, you are the branches, and those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit. Because apart from me, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. There is no fruit apart from Jesus. And I know that sounds almost simplistic in a way, but it's a truth that I find we often forget, that there is no fruit apart from Jesus. There's often these focuses and mindsets and ministries and churches across the world, and it can happen even to us, is that there is fruit because of our good marketing efforts, or there's fruit because of how hard we worked, or there's fruit because of all the efforts we've put into whatever. But listen, this morning, the Bible teaches us, and it is truth, and it is a universal truth. There is no fruit apart from Jesus. If we want to see fruit and we want to see a harvest, it requires us to stay connected to the vine. Going back to Matthew 21, this whole chapter, if you want to read it sometime, Jesus does like a whole teaching on this thing about fruit interspersed throughout this. Here Jesus is in Matthew 21, and we see this amazing picture of Jesus walking into the temple. And you don't remember what happens. He gets mad. He starts throwing the tables of the money changers over. He starts rebuking them because they're selling things in the temple. And he gives them that stark word coming out of Isaiah: my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you're making it a den of robbers. And the amazing thing after that verse is the Bible says that the blind and the lame, they came to Jesus. And what happened? They were healed. So right after this, the Bible says that in the morning when he was returning to the city, in verse 18, they saw a fig tree. Now, remember, the Bible is not accidental. Everything is placed exactly where it needs to be. And as a matter of fact, Luke's gospel takes this next part and separates it and puts the beginning above the story about Jesus cleansing the temple and the second part after about this fig tree. And he sees this fig tree and he went to it and he found nothing at all on it but leaves. And he said to it, may no fruit ever come from you again. And it's this picture. And they questioned Jesus. They like, wow, how did you do that? We want to know. And Jesus said to them, truly I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only will you do what has been done to the fig tree, but if you say to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, it will be done. And watch this last verse here in 22. Whatever you ask for in prayer with faith, you will receive. I think there's a theme here, and it comes back to this thing about prayer. There is no fruit apart from Jesus, and that was what was happening in the temple. That place, it was not connected to Jesus anymore. It had gone far away from its purpose. They were selling there. They had turned it into a marketplace. It was not a reverent, holy place like it was supposed to be, and this is why Jesus was angry. This is supposed to be a house of prayer. This is supposed to be a place that is dedicated for this purpose. And if you and I are going to produce fruit, we see here what happens. Jesus gives them the picture. When you're not connected, you're like this fig tree. You go, someone goes to find something from it. There's nothing there. There's no fruit there. And Jesus gives them that picture once again. And listen, this is the Bible. This is over and over throughout it. He curses it and says, and tosses it away. May no fruit ever come from you again. There is no fruit apart from Jesus. What Jesus is looking for in us is a life of fruitfulness. And that comes, listen this morning, this is so important, is abiding with the Lord in prayer. Abiding in his word, taking that word, listening, to spending time in prayer. That's how the fruit is nurtured, is when God's voice is speaking and those prayer closets and the stillness of those times and nurturing the seed of faith. And that's taking good soil and beginning to produce a hundredfold. And this is what Jesus is giving them, those disciples. It's a big picture. Everything going forward, listen, you can go and you can try in all of your effort. You can do whatever you want. But if it's not dedicated and it's not given and sought for the purpose of staying connected to Jesus through prayer, it will become dead. It will be lifeless. It will be empty. And it is that truth, John 15:5. Apart from me, you can do nothing. This is why we have prayer meeting, because I personally have to say to Charlie every week, Charlie, there is no fruit happening in this church unless this church prays. There is no one going to come to Jesus unless this church is staying, abiding in Jesus. Is no one's life is going to be transformed unless we are abiding in prayer, staying connected to Jesus. Then God can use this church in the way that he wants to. This is why we abide in Jesus, because apart from him, you and I, we could do nothing. Second thing here, or third thing we see here in John 15:8 is he says, And going on, he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. There's that truth about prayer again. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. Become my disciples. God is glorified by fruitfulness. God is glorified by fruitfulness. God gets all the glory when there's fruit in our lives. Once again, this isn't a result of our efforts. This isn't a result of how hard we've worked or how hard we've done anything. This is a result of abiding in Jesus. And because I've placed myself in Jesus, therefore fruit is produced. And therefore God is glorified. God is pleased with that. God looks at that and glory goes to him. And did you know, isn't that wonderful, that just by abiding in Jesus, God is getting praised. God is being exalted. Just by being with the Lord in prayer, God is getting all of the glory. Just by taking this word and letting it abide in you, God is being glorified. God is being honored and blessed through this simple practice by abiding in him, and therefore there's fruitfulness. Once again, Matthew 21, Jesus teaches, blessed is the servant whom his master will find at work when he arrives. Because why? God is glorified by fruitfulness. When Jesus comes back for you and I, woe unto us if there's no fruit. God is looking for fruitfulness. When Jesus comes back, wouldn't it be a wonderful testimony? He comes back and he finds us producing fruit for him. Producing something that he says, oh, that's glorifying me, even up until the moment of his return. Blessed is the servant whom his master will find at work when he arrives. God is glorified by fruitfulness. And fourthly, we see this in John 15 and 6, or 16 rather, going down. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit. I appointed you to go and bear fruit. A lot of times there's this movement and questions which are maybe good in some ways, but this is an important part of all of that when people asking, what is God will for my life? What does God want for me? God's will is that we all produce fruit. That's God's will. That's what we've been appointed and called to do, is to produce fruit. Listen this morning, bearing fruit is not about spiritual arrogance. It's not about so we can hang the apple of kindness on our tree and say, well, look at this, don't I have kindness? That's not what that's about. Bearing fruit is not about spiritual arrogance. It's about loving people. It's about, is there fruit in my life that is going to love people, that's going to bless people, that's going to help people, that there's a harvest happening, there's a bearing of much fruit, there's patience, there's love exuding from me, not because of me, but because I'm in the vine. And therefore, you and I know for sure we are called to produce fruit. All of us here this morning, you have been appointed by God to produce fruit. Whether you are working in a job that you may think is insignificant, or whether you are doing something that you think is significant, wherever it is that God has placed you vocationally, it doesn't matter. All that matters is this, is that you have been appointed to go and bear fruit. Bear fruit. It's not about warming pews. It's not about becoming good Christians. It's about bearing fruit in the Christian life. Jesus is looking for fruit. Jesus's heart is yearning for all to come to him. It is not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Therefore, Jesus's heart for the church is go, produce fruit, get to work, use all that I've given you and be a blessing, reap a harvest. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. I want to produce fruit. I've prayed many times. I don't want to be that Christian that just, I'm here, Lord, and I'm just taking up air. God, use my life to produce fruit. Produce fruit. Be a blessing to someone. Encourage someone. Help someone get to Jesus. Whatever it might be, God, use us to produce fruit. I remember some time ago, as I was preparing my transition to come here, I remember sitting with the Lord in prayer, and God's just moment of just being with the Lord. And I just remember the Lord speaking to me in such a tender way, this verse right here. I appointed you, go, bear fruit. And I thought to myself, Lord, not in my strength, not in my help, not in my own ability. It only happens when you and I stay connected to the vine. Is there's fruit that is coming. Fruit that is being a blessing. Fruit that is helping others. Bear fruit. We're called to produce fruit. And fifthly, leave you with this, is the musicians come. John 15 and 16. And this to me is an encouragement to every believer that has served the Lord for year after year after year. You know, sometimes about serving the Lord for long periods of time is sometimes you wonder, and the enemy may leave discouragement us, is what I'm doing working? Am I making a difference? Am I helping anybody? Am I doing anything? And so here's the important part here is this. He says, you're appointed to go and bear fruit, and watch this, fruit that will last. Fruit that will last. Here's a wonderful truth about the word of the fruit in our lives, and spiritual fruit is spiritual fruit does not rot. All that God produces through us, it does not rot. In other words, it's that what Paul tells the church, I believe in Galatia, don't grow weary in well-doing, for you will reap a harvest. There's going to come a time you're going to reap a harvest. You're going to see what God has done through all of that. And the fruit that will last, this is the wonderful thing about this, is that it has eternal ramifications. If it's fruit that will last and fruit that will not rot, that must mean that it goes on and on and on forevermore. And this must be this wonderful thing that Jesus teaches us in other places, that all are going to give an account before him. And one of that is that account is going to be that fruit that lasts, that fruit that is God has produced through us and is used to make a difference. It's this truth that we have loved people with our lives. We've bared fruit, and it's helped people. All the fruit, the spiritual fruit, none of us are seeing. Look, there comes a new grape off of my branch. Nobody's saying that. It's hard to see that. It's hard. Sometimes it's easy to get discouraged when you and I are giving ourselves to the work of the Lord. But the most important thing that we remember is that it's fruit that will last. All that we're doing for the Lord, it's not in vain. Being, abiding in Jesus, loving people, blessing others. There's never one thing in the nature of loving people that is insignificant in God's mind. God sees it all. He knows it all. And it's all important to him. And it comes back to that truth. And this good news of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the world as a testimony to all the nations. And then the end will come. God wants you and I eternal reward, eternal ramifications, storing up treasures, storing up fruit that will last, that will make a difference. Don't you want to be used like that? I don't want to just be here and say, God, just let me just make it through life. No, Lord, let there be fruit in my life. God isn't asking that we get some type of degree. God isn't asking that we do anything, jump through hoops. He's just asking, abide in Jesus. You want spiritual fruit in your life? Abide in Jesus. Just be in Jesus. There's no work on your part. It's just being in Jesus and letting Jesus give grace to us that we don't deserve to help us grow, 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 faith to faith, glory to glory was what God wants in our life. Don't get content with just sitting where I'm at spiritually. No, God, I want to grow every day. Every time I open up this Bible, oh God, help me to grow. Help me to mature. Help me to be all that you've called me to be in the spiritual life, whatever it is that God wants you and I bear fruit. Produce fruit. My brother, my sister, you feel like you're not doing anything for the Lord. Your life is not doing anything. Listen, produce fruit. Abide in Jesus, and you will produce not just a little fruit. The Bible says much fruit. And in God's mind, that's important, and that's what really matters. It doesn't matter what people say about our lives and how we're not measuring up to people. We're going to give an account before Jesus, and he's the one looking at the fruit, and that's what it really matters. If you're able, let's stand this morning. So that's it this morning. That's the word for us today. Produce fruit. Produce fruit for Jesus. Let your life glorify God. Let all your good works glorify your Father in heaven. Jesus, use us to produce fruit. Use us to produce fruit. Would you make that your prayer this morning with me? Lord, produce fruit through my life. I want to see people come to know Jesus. I want people to encounter your goodness. Lord, produce fruit in me. Maybe you're apart from the Lord today, and you're saying, there is no fruit in my life. The simple truth is, abide in Jesus, then there will be fruit. Call on Jesus this morning. Lift up your voice to him. Jesus, I need you. I need you today. Change my life. I don't want to be a fruitless believer. I don't want to just go through the motions of what I've been taught is Christianity. I want to produce fruit for you. Fruit that will last. That one day when I stand before Jesus, I'm going to see that fruit that has lasted for all of eternity. Lord, do it through us today. May there be a harvest, Lord, produced through this church, Lord. Make us a fruit-bearing church, Lord. Make this a hospital for the lost, Lord. A spiritual place where those who don't know you can find you, Lord. And Lord, help us as we go out into this world. You've given us all of these commands so that we might love one another. Produce fruit through us, Lord. Lord, we don't understand how it all works, Lord. We don't know the logistics of it all. We just know, go be in you. Just be in you. Abide in you, and you'll take care of the rest. So, Lord, today, would you help us? Move us to fruitfulness. Move us, Lord, today. Would you just join me this morning in offering yourself to the Lord? God, I want to be a branch that produces fruit. Maybe you say to me this morning, Charlie, there's some things in my life that they need to be pruned out so that I can bear more fruit. That's okay. Let the Lord do that today. Let the Lord do that today. If you join me this morning, would you just come and stand here at the front? We're just going to give ourselves to the Lord. Lord, we want to be used by you. Produce fruit through us. As the choir comes, we're giving ourselves to you. Harvest of righteousness, Lord. Let us not grow weary in well-doing, for we will reap at harvest time. We give ourselves to you today. You need prayer this morning, you're struggling, something in your life just hit you this morning, resonated with you. Come this morning, let's pray.